what's up? Thanks for listening to episode 475 of The Show Radio. I'll be out of town until November 12th. Until November 12th. Definitely want to say thank you so much for your support of the show. It means a lot to us. Episode 475. Thanks for listening. All right, Daniela. Episode 475. What up, yo? What was good?
It's been a long but short, I don't know, 5 days, however long I was gone for.
Yeah, you were gone for a little bit.
Just a little bit. I don't know. They went by so fast. I just felt like your typical trip or vacation, like it takes forever to get here.
Right.
But it goes by so quickly.
Okay, so walk me through you landing for TwitchCon. Give me a load.
Landing for TwitchCon? Let's see. We got in at San Jose about 9 p.m. And then we had a couple friends that were already there. They were staying with us at our Airbnb. And they picked us up. Ugh, man. First thing I think we went to was Carl's Jr. We don't have one here, so.
Okay.
Really super quick cups of food, Carl's Jr. And it's just like we checked into our Airbnb, which was incredibly nice. I want to leave the best review for this host ever because it was a really nice house. It was like 3 bedrooms, 4 queen-size beds, like a incredibly nice full kitchen, this nice back screen room, nice living room, nice yard. It was like only like $150 a night. And okay. Like less than 2 miles away from the convention center. It was cool. I really liked it. Okay. And, you know, we arrived on Wednesday. There's nothing really going on for Thursday. We could do an early bag check. Badge check-in. We grabbed all that stuff, all the swag. And the line wasn't really too bad. Like, it looked overwhelming. Like, oh my God, this is a lot of people. We're going to be here for like a while. And really getting the badges was really fast, at least for the affiliate community side of it, because there were 3 different lines. You had ones for the affiliates and community partners, and then you had your exhibitors and your press badges. Well, the affiliate line, I want to say was 4 times longer than, you know, the partner line or the press line, just to be expected. But it took maybe 10 minutes to get through. Amazingly, Gutter, he was in the partner line. It took him like almost 45 minutes. It's like, it's really long.
Right.
And your line was so much shorter than ours. But there really wasn't much that you could do.
So what was that?
They were just,
what was that though?
Because the affiliate and community line had, I think, 6 or 7 different, I guess, kiosk things or people helping to do the badges. And each person was doing 2 people at a time. They had 2 scanners to scan yourself and get it out. Whereas the partner line only had like 3. Still don't know why it took longer.
Okay.
I mean, I understand that it's like it had 4 times more open positions, but there were really, it really wasn't that much like partners. I don't know why it was taking so long, to be honest. I really don't.
That's all we could really do. What about line traffic? From last year into this year, how much improvement would you say?
For day zero, it was great. Day zero, it was awesome. Like, it was a little bit more clear distinction of what you can do. For days 3 was okay. Days 1 and 2 of it, absolutely terrible. Absolutely the worst ever. It was crazy. Like, when we showed up Friday morning, it's not like we came in super late. We didn't come exactly when the doors opened. It was like at 10:30, 11 that we showed up. The doors opened at 10. I'll be honest, like there are people who went in that had their badge already. They were there from like 8 o'clock in the morning and standing in line for several hours that wrapped around the block a few times. Then the people who are just picking up that badge that day, I bet they regretted it with all of their lives because that line was like kind of merging into what the line of the people were trying to get in that already had their badge. And there was just not enough space in that front area. and on the sideway to accommodate the traffic for people without the badges. People with the badges, they're just trying to get in. There was just wrapping around the block, on both sides of the block, across the street. It was insane. I mean, we even had a friend, he showed up later in the day, much later into the day. Like, his flight arrived somewhere around like 2 p.m, which is about 4 hours after the doors already opened. I think he was in line for almost 3 hours. Jeez. And he was several blocks away to get his badge. And then it was another like bit of time before he could actually get in. It was insanity. It was super crazy. Yeesh. I was super ninja about a couple things because there were certain places that was not really announced and really, really openly known about how you can get in a little bit faster. So I took advantage of those things. So when I said on the first day that I showed up, already after the doors open and people are waiting for several hours. Yeah, there was a side entrance that they didn't announce, that didn't show, but it's not like it was hidden either. Like, it was like everybody can see where that side entrance was. The only reason why I knew it was there was that the night before they had the partners could buy stuff from the merch store on Thursday night. And I was sitting out by that entrance / exit for a few hours. And I was like, oh, you can get in from here. Nobody was going in from there. Mm. For whatever reason, and nobody was directing excess traffic to go to that area, which is kind of understandable because it was attached to the Marriott Hotel, which they added a whole other flair with their chanting because they're on protest right now.
Right.
So they were protesting outside that door and everything, but they were limiting traffic that went through the lobby to get to, or one of the ways to get to that side entrance. So you had to have a room key to be able to go through the lobby to get there. Or there's a glass door that everybody could see from the front of the thing that nobody went to. I don't know why.
Same venue?
So, same venue.
Okay.
Same everything.
Why does that sound familiar with that side entrance from last year? Did you mention something like that last? Was it the same kind of situation?
No. Well, there was a side entrance from last year, but it wasn't like it was attached to anything. It was just on the clear other side of the building, which would be a secondary main entrance because it was really huge.
Okay.
But nobody really went there. Twitch, because of that backup, Twitch ended up sending out this mass email saying, sorry for these long lines. We'll stay open an hour longer so people can enjoy themselves here. And then I think they sent out an email to only the partners to let them know. It's like, hey, you can go in through that side entrance. And there's side entrances for both. I think it was the Hyatt that was on the other side. And then the Marriott, which is the entrance that I went through. And it was better, but not better.
Hmm.
But by the time day two came, I already found another way in.
Okay.
I'm not about to be spending, like, no time in some crazy line. Like, nobody should have to, but I went in on a mission. I was determined not to make this happen. It was just insane. Like, the amount that was packed and the amount of interest that people went through, it is I don't have any numbers right now. I don't think they put out any numbers, but I feel like there was a whole lot more people than there at this TwitchCon than there were last TwitchCon.
Okay.
It was so much harder to get through. I mean, they made this big deal about the backpacks. You know what? Security didn't even check the bags.
Wow. For all that.
And they're like, oh, take your, you know, they made you take off the bags, go through the metal detector. But it wasn't until the very last time, the absolutely last time that I went through the metal detectors, did somebody ever actually ask me, please open your bags. And he actually legitimately looked through my bags.
Mm.
Other than that, it's like, take off your bag, put it there, go through it, grab your bag, move on. I don't know if it's because there was so much traffic that was going through or they just really didn't care. I'm not too sure. I mean, it was taking a while to get through people through even without checking the bag. So I can imagine if they took the time to like just kind of do spot checks here and there. But literally nobody really did.
Interesting.
It was definitely very interesting. But it's I kind of I kind of didn't go about TwitchCon like everybody else did, though. Okay. Like, I went in it. I think you have me trained. You have me trained, Andrew, because after E3 experiences with you, that's how I attack TwitchCon.
So tell me more. Okay, so before you get into that, right, for those listening and watching, you're watching or listening to 475, right, episode 475 of the show radio. I'm Andrew, and you are?
I'm Danny.
Yeah, we're talking about TwitchCon. We're going to talk a little bit more about TwitchCon, some of the panel stuff, and even some news that took place this past week. Daniela is back and trying to catch up on rest as it relates to TwitchCon. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Definitely check us out at theshowradio.info, which is where you'll find all the subscribe links for the show. Okay, so what was your setup like? What was your mindset going into the attack mode for the show?
Well, I did have some intentions of going to the panels, but it was more of a very secondary thing to me. Like, they have really great panels. I highly suggest people going out and checking them. But I also felt like if I miss it, it's okay. I know that I can go and catch up on them and watch them, you know, watch their VODs, watch it offline and play catch up that way. Like, so I didn't feel like I was necessarily missing the information. Maybe some ties, but I wanted to have conversations with the different vendors that were there. I wanted time to build those types of relationships, those one-on-one moments, rather than sitting in a room and, you know, listening to people, which they do have good information, but I can do that at home as well too. And I feel confident enough that if I had some more questions, there's people I can talk to in a message and see where that goes. And if not, there's a lot of people that I can, you know, converse these, have more insightful conversations with about the topics that were discussed. But there's only so much time that you can actually, you know, have a one-on-one time with a developer or anybody that's running any of the booths. I feel like that's something that's very limited. So I made that my priority. And the very, hi there, House of EdTech, first time viewer, welcome.
What's up? Thanks for stopping by.
The very first place I went to and I booked a time with was Play Breach. I got to talk to Dallas Jenkinson, which... the way that we sat, it was very interesting. Like, I could only bring so much stuff in, and I had some intents of recordings and video, but it really was not roomy friendly enough for that. It really wasn't. Like, people weren't as, I guess, con etiquette and respectful as I was hoping they would be. Like, if you see somebody recording, you kind of would, you know, step around where the camera is,
right?
Or not walk through. Like, they just didn't care. So I'm like, okay, so most of this is just going to be audio, which is still cool. Okay. Which is fine with me. And I still got that. And I got to talk to Dallas about Breach, and I got to play it. I got to demo it. That was actually really a lot of fun. I signed up for the alpha there. Definitely go check out the show radio.live, the show radio.info for the interview on that one. We have that up and recorded. And like I was saying, with our seating, my arm is still hurting from this interview. So our seats were offset, and he sat on the higher chair. I sat on the lower chair.
So you couldn't use the two mics?
No, I couldn't. That day, I forgot the splitter. Oh. I forgot to pack the splitter.
Okay.
So that's what happened. Okay. That's what happened. Yeah, so I was like holding it up and like, just holding it like this and trying not to move or shake.
Right, right, right.
For almost 10 minutes, I was like,
yeah.
In my head, like, I can feel the burn. Yeah. I got this. I'm going to smile through this. We got this. So I was like, I felt it. I felt it the following day.
What's up, Aaron? Were you leaning in or were you leaning away? Like, how were you? What was your position?
I was leaning in.
You were leaning in?
All right, so I was leaning in, but you know what? I still got it. It was still a great conversation.
No,
it was still a delight to talk to. And I was so proud. I messaged you and I'm like, I got to upload this now.
Yeah.
Okay. Day one is the only time that I had amazing reception. I'm not too sure why, because I could be on the floor, and I uploaded it to Dropbox. Both my interviews from that day, I uploaded to Dropbox for you to go and check out and upload. But every day after that was so painful. I don't know why. I wasn't getting my messages. I wasn't getting notifications. Couldn't upload. I had reception. But yeah, I did that. I checked him out, played the game. And then, let's see, Go XLR, the Helicon gaming booth.
Yeah, so, talk to me about that. Like, what's the scoop? Are we getting one? Are you getting one? I don't even care at this point. Like, what is the scoop?
All right, so I think I DM'd you about it the day before I was, either the day before I left or the day I did leave. I'm not even sure, but I know that it was brought to my attention the day I was leaving about some teaser stuff from Helicon Gaming. I've never heard of Helicon Gaming, never heard of Go XLR, but I watched a video that they have, and they're primarily, they deal with a lot of audio.
Yeah.
They deal with a lot of audio for musicians and entertainers, and now they wanted to break into the whole gaming and streaming field.
Word.
Which is something that is kind of lacking for them, because for our side, or I guess for the streamer side of things.
Right.
And I was checking out like the timeline, some tweets that were being sent out at them, and like the people that are testing it right now, the streamers that are testing it are very obviously under NDA. They couldn't talk about it. They've been in development of this system for quite some time already. So they would show a picture, like one of the tweets showed a picture of like the entire crazy next level mixer setup where he had like the 16 input, all the XLR cables,
nice.
the Phantom Power, all of these things. And then he's like, this is the old way. And then the next picture was the new way. And they had the Go XLR unit was like pixelated and blurred out. So it didn't show what it was. And my interest was instantly peaked.
Nice.
Because that is something that I want more information about. And I've been trying to dive into and consider. And it's just overwhelming when you don't really know the equipment that you absolutely need. Like, I don't want to have to buy more than I need, but I don't want to buy where I don't have enough and I'm going to have to make repurchases and then have to like learn how to use a mixer. You know, there's this whole thing. And it's very intimidating for somebody who doesn't know what they're looking for and what to get.
Yeah.
So
actually,
I'm
going to post the interview here as well. So yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. So when I finally got to talk to Craig, he was a delight. Their booth wasn't technically a booth. It was like one of those like quick setups. So you had the exhibitor booth. They had a whole station. They have their whole booth. They hold up their whole stuff. But they had like this single kiosk. They had a one half of this kiosk because they're both they're dual sided. So they were sharing it with somebody else. So I'm not even sure if they thought like they weren't going to get the amount of attention they were going to for, or if they were a last minute, you know, decision to
table.
Jump on.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause most of those type of, I guess, kiosks or booths were just for quick information in and out. People just could do a little spot check, say, oh, that's cool. That's a nice service. Kind of see what's there, but it wasn't anything set up to have like full demos and answer questions. So they were like constantly packed of all of the setups that were in that area. They were always busy, always talking, always giving these demos. So I was so incredibly lucky that Craig, he took the time, he's like, yeah, I'm down. I want to talk about this. I'm glad that you reached out.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. And we actually went somewhere else to have our conversation. Because there was so much traffic going in, he's like, you know what? Let's just go downstairs. We'll sit, we'll talk, and we'll get this done. And I'm like, oh my God, you're actually going to take your time from your crazy booth to talk like this. This is awesome. And oh my gosh, I want it. I want it so bad. I'm going to be emailing them and talking to them about it. I know I didn't get to send the email saying that we uploaded it yet. I tried to do that yesterday and it's just none of my stuff was going through. But we'll see where it goes. It does release in December. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now. The unit itself, it's a little bit pricey. I mean, anything that's over $100, I always call always consider expensive. Yeah. It's like $399.99, yeah. So $400. But when you consider what it is replacing, it's like you're saving money. And on top of that, it's just a simple, clean, layout, the software GUI that it uses is really, really cool. And it's just so intuitive. Like it takes all those complicated setups and instruction manuals and everything, and it just makes it the simple, clean layout.
Yeah.
Like I knew what I was looking at, like just knowing nothing, having never touched it at all, looking at it, I'm like, I know what this does. I know what this does. I know what I need to do with this. I'm like, this is simple. This is what I need. I pre-ordered it.
Did you?
Yes. So that's a done deal.
That thing looks amazing.
I cannot. I'm like, I know this is what I want. Right now, I mean, I don't have a mixer. I've been looking at mixers for the last 7-8 months, and I've been trying to ask for information from other people, but it's still so intimidating to me, and it's such a scary, scary thing. So this makes it easier. It makes my life easier. I'm not even complaining. There's a lot of people I saw that were standing there getting the demo, getting the information, that they were on their phone and just pre-ordering right there, right then.
So what's interesting about that whole situation with the interview and you having a conversation is I get the thing from Dropbox and I'm like, all right, cool. Let me set this up. And I'm like, should I do like an intro for this? So I'm sitting here wondering, I think I should, because it's not like a regular episode that is just going to go up. So I quickly did an intro outro for it. And then after I put it up, I forgot it automatically posts on YouTube as well. So people are leaving comments on that, like, yeah, I can't wait for this thing. And I'm like, wait, when did I put that on YouTube? Oh, that's right. It automatically goes on YouTube as well. So that was a whole interesting situation with that. But yeah, you did really good on that. So kudos to you, you know. Awesome. Yay, stuff. Awesome stuff there. Awesome stuff. So yes, I really enjoyed that. So the gear, carrying it around. So how was that?
It was actually great. I still had I had my side pack, like I showed you, my Ukoala bag, which everybody that I saw and came across loved it.
Nice.
They're like, oh my God, I need it. It saved having any pressure, because on my shoulders, you could bring in the string bags, but I always feel over time, even like the littlest bit of weight, since it's such a narrow stress point, I always end up having these stress, like my muscles really tight there. And the fact that all the weight was distributed around my waist, I had both my hands, I could freely do anything. It was great. It was really quick to set up and break down. And I was very proud of it, because the Samsonic that I had, I saw other people who are also doing, you know, they tried to consolidate the stuff that they had because they didn't get their press badge or anything like that, and we only could carry so much.
Right.
You know, using the normal little booms or whatever attachment, and I showed them what I had there. So like, what, I can actually use my XLR. So I had a few people that I talked to, and I showed what I had and my setup. Like, they were super quick to just go to Amazon and purchase. They purchased that adapter right there and then.
That thing is a gem, man.
the power of buying on your phone instantly. Yeah, it was nice. Yeah, Eric, it was really cool to check out the Go XLR. Mind you, the last day of TwitchCon, there was, I can't remember his name, but he was from Broadcast GG. The showroom floor was already closed, and he had a Go XLR box in his hand, and he was walking off. He was not from Helicon Gaming. That is the fastest that I sprinted to somebody to stop them. I'm not the type of person to immediately go after one and stop them. Like, I don't know if this man thought I was about to rob him or what, because you certainly do not approach somebody with the quickness and like the aggressiveness that I have. Because I want the Go XLR so bad that I was like, wait, they're selling them on the floor? No way. Like, I needed to ask him. I'm like, how did you get that? Are they selling it right there? Like, is that like something secret there? Because you and I are going to go back to this booth. You are going to be the man that's be like, hey, yo, she needs to buy one.
That's intense.
And actually, he actually turned out to be one of the people who are actually testing the Gold XLR for them. He's running it. And he's like, no, they had some problems with customs because Helicon Gaming is based out of Canada. So they had some issues at customs with it. And they brought somebody locally that was down to, hey, can we just borrow your unit to run these things? And so he brought his down. And I was like, yo, can I buy that from you right now? But he was really nice. We talked, we chatted. But man, it's like you don't approach somebody with that quickness, like unless you're gonna rob them or something. But I really needed to know. Like, how did you get
that? You didn't rob anybody during TwitchCon.
No, of course not. I was just really super excited because I seriously thought you could buy it. And if that was true, I was about to sprint my happy self across the entire showroom floor to get to that booth.
Wow. Man. That's awesome. So yeah, so definitely more TwitchCon stuff I want to talk about. This episode, we have this this question here. How long is the average podcast episode? I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. Your thoughts in the chat as well. Cronus Max Plus, I'll talk a little bit about that. What else we got? Michael Jordan's in here. Drake's in here. Oculus Rift is in here. Fallout's in here. 2B is in here as well. Destiny 2, Destiny 3 rumors, Twitch stuff at the end. And I think we covered a little bit of the adventures, but I want to hear any final thoughts as far as Twitch is concerned towards the end of the episode. So how long do you think, Daniela and chat, podcast episode should be, the average? What would you say?
I'd say about around an hour.
Not an hour, right?
Maybe a little bit over, about an hour, yeah.
Yeah, so typically, it seems that everyone has their minutes range when it comes to how long the episode should be. Some say 45, some say an hour, some say whenever, you know, it's over, which I don't like that, you know, format or answer per se. But I like the episode to be as tight-knit as possible, with no filler. And as long as you're prepared, everyone that's listening can tell that you're prepared. Aaron says 1 to 2 hours, and that range is different. But according to this particular thing that I was looking at, according to this, a whole bunch of episodes were tested for this. And what was that number like? 43 minutes and 24 seconds, right? So this particular post, it says, recently I grabbed the metadata for more than 10 million podcast episodes. I focus exclusively on audio, no video podcasts, with release dates after June 2005. So then they did the numbers, they crunched the numbers, 43 minutes and 24 seconds. That is the average length for a particular episode. Now my thing is, you know, as long as you have the content is there, you're not using the time for filler because you don't have anything else to say, I think you can go as long as you want to go, but when it's over, it should be over, right? That's my thing, because you can hear individuals go into a whole bunch of different conversations, and that's fine. Tangents are cool, but if you're doing tangents because you don't have anything prepared, people can tell that. Like, we have stuff prepared, so I'm not going off on a tangent as I'm talking about the podcast stuff because I need to fill anything. We have like 10 to 15 different things that we're going to talk about in this particular episode. So I want to hear your thoughts and definitely chat, chime in on that.
Like I said before, our shows, obviously we don't hit the 43 minutes. I don't even know if we've ever had a show that was less than an hour, to be honest. Maybe? No, never did. But I mean, it's as long as it's going to be. I'm not going to rush our conversations just to hit some specific quota. I think that feels good to have it organically wherever it may be. That's where it is.
Definitely. And the thing also is, when you're taking the compression to like 64K mono to do the MP3 file or whatever, you know, an hour is usually about 40 megabytes, give or take. So if you're doing variable compression, that could change according to the file size. So our file size range anywhere from 30 to 50 for an episode that's 2.5 hours to 3 hours. So it's our megabytes are actually smaller for a bigger episode because they're doing variable compression when we break down the episode to do the MP3. So that's not necessarily a challenge for space per se, but that's pretty much the setup that I consider when we're compressing the audio to put the audio out. Aaron says, yeah, having plan is nice as long as the show is interesting and relevant. You can go a good hour or two without having to worry about filler. I think if the filler is interesting, you know, if it's a great conversation and the people are having a good time, I think filler is great. But if it's just there because you're running out of stuff, then it's not necessarily all that great. So that's how I feel about that. So next thing, so we have actually two submissions on this particular episode, Daniela. We have one from Meow Sicker. She actually submitted a technology piece for controllers, right? And I didn't even know this thing existed. We also have one later on from El Taco Justice, which is the Destiny 3 rumor stuff, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But this particular device, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on it. You can definitely take that one and let me know what you think as far as first impressions and stuff, if you haven't seen it already.
Maybe. I'm looking at it right now.
Word.
Mind you, I'm playing catch up here.
Word. So
back into the normal life things.
Absolutely. So for those listening, this is the Cronus Max Plus. It's an actual USB looking device that allows you to connect. Let's say, in this particular case, Meow Sicker is using an Elite Xbox controller with her PlayStation 4 using this device, right? And she's not using any mods or anything like that. So that I've seen devices like these in the past, but I didn't know they were still like making them or they were still a thing, which is interesting that she's using an Elite Xbox controller with the PlayStation 4. And I think that's pretty neat. If you're looking into anything like that, you have a particular controller that you love, whether it's the PlayStation 4, DualShock 4, you want to use that for another platform. I think that's great. The PC stuff is plug and play from what I recall, whether it's the Elite controller or PlayStation 4 DualShock or the SCUF controller itself. That's plug and play for the PC, et cetera, et cetera. So your thoughts on that?
Actually, this makes sense. I mean, it has to be out there because there are controllers that you can switch out the joysticks and the D-pad so that it has, like, you know, your PlayStation controller can have the PS4 layout and vice versa, but they cost a lot of money. They do. This is definitely the more affordable, smarter way. If you already have it, to have this, it's not even just for those consoles, because I'm looking over here, it's also even work on Android devices like the Nvidia Shield. So that's cool and nice to know. It's a nice, like, quality of life changer there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so zero. Definitely shout outs to Meow Sicker for submitting that bit of news. Awesome stuff. Okay, so ASMR, Daniela. ASMR. Okay, so
yes, I have some friends who do that.
It's a thing, right? It's a thing where people are whispering in your ear from one ear to another, right? You know, rubbing the earlobes of the particular device, you know, that kind of a thing. And to see, you know, someone like, you know, Cardi B, from what I understand, according to this particular video, she is a big fan of ASMR stuff. I don't even know what ASMR stands for, if it stands for anything. So you have some friends that do this. I guess enlighten us, Daniela, on this stuff.
ASMR stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, which is just a really nice way of, like, these sounds are really relaxing for people, whatever it may be, and people use it too. It's just that nice white noise. It's kind of like those alarm clocks that play the sound of the ocean so that you can help you sleep and meditate better. Well, there's other things other than the ocean that people like to listen to, like bubble wrap or the squishy bubble Play-Doh wrap. And the sound that it, yeah, It's a thing.
Okay.
But there's certain noises that are just really relaxing. It's kind of like those visual videos where it's satisfying to watch something being cut perfectly and nicely and evenly, but it's audio, what it is. And I don't know. It helps people. It's a thing. It's been a thing on YouTube for a really, really, really long time. And it's been growing exponentially on Twitch over like, I want to say the last year. It even has its own category for it.
Right.
And yeah, see, like Aaron says, people have triggers, like people whispering, paper shoveling, the sound of a pencil and paper, etc. It's just those little things, and that they have very special mics that are set up to pick up those sounds like perfectly, that just to listen. Or even if it's not just there, just to have somebody whispering to your ear to read you a story. It's not for everybody. It's not for everybody to try out, not for everybody to listen. But I get it. Like I will watch my friend Kristen, and she'll do those things. And it is super calming. Like I don't know what it is that she used, but there's just something that sounds like the crackling of a fireplace. Which I really do actually like, personally. Like, I don't have a fireplace. I know that we do bonfires over here. I have a couple aunts that have a fireplace. And it's just nice to sit out and just, not even just look at it, but just to hear it. There's just something calming about it.
Okay. So did you see...
I didn't listen to Cardi B yet. Okay, I didn't listen to Cardi B.
That's what I was going to ask, if you saw any of that. okay. All right. So I'm actually going to post it here. Let me see. Let me just do that real quick.
It is. Aaron says best lesson too with headphones on. Yep.
Word. All right. So yeah, I'll link that in the chat. Hopefully that takes. Yeah. So I think she did okay. I don't know how to necessarily judge that. I felt very relaxed. Right. I guess that's the idea. Right. That's the point. But aside from that, I'll leave it alone. So that's pretty much all I have there.
Hey, I want to take a quick second and tell you about ProXPN. ProXPN is one of our affiliates. It is an easy-to-use VPN service that secures your internet connection against eavesdropping, masks your location, and allows you to access your favorite sites no matter where you live or travel to. Now, I've been using ProXPN for a long time now. The service is really, really great. To get 20% off the lifetime of your account, visit theshowradio.info/ProXPN and use the promo code SHORAM. Now, for our other affiliates, definitely check out theshowradio.info/resources. Now, back to the show.
Michael Jordan invests in Team Liquid. Drake co-owns 100 Thieves. Those are the first two things in video game news. Any thoughts or comments on those things?
Everybody is investing into gaming, which is awesome.
Word.
Absolutely awesome. I don't everybody in whatever aspect, whether it be esports, whether it be some organization or charity or something like that, it is great that people are seeing that this form of entertainment is not going anywhere. It's growing. It's here to stay. And hi, Mock. Mock is one of my friends I stayed with for TwitchCon. And I feel like it's going to be taken a bit more seriously.
Okay.
Because we still have that generation that thinks, or I can't even say it's necessarily generation now, because I know people that are the same age as me and even younger than me that think that gaming is just a waste of time, it's a waste of energy. I don't think it is. I think it's very therapeutic. I think it has its place in this world. So when you have people who are investing into it and taking a pie, they see what the future beholds within it. I think people understand, it's like, all right, there's something to this. I should go and check it out.
Word. So you have Drake doing 100 Thieves. You have the Air-ness himself doing Team Liquid. I thought that was very interesting. Next bit of news that I did see, Facebook has reportedly canceled its in-development next-generation Oculus Rift 2 virtual reality headset. There was some... I guess there's trouble in paradise. There was one guy recently left, which kind of affected the VR team, according to the thing I was reading about that. Any thoughts on that particular situation?
Not really. To be honest, I know that there's the Rift. I don't know people that have that have the Rift, really. I know a lot of people who have the Vive.
Right.
Not really the Rift. But is it really timed for a next generation VR? I mean, I feel like it's still trying to find its place. I feel like it's still trying to build up that traction thing, that it's not just a novelty item.
Right.
So I think it's just too soon for that. And if it's like, if they canceled it, I don't think it's fully canceled. Maybe, like, I personally think they put it like put it on the back burner. That makes sense to me because VR is just doing so great. This iteration, this time, because it was tried in the past before and it didn't, you know, there wasn't as much support for it. But now that we have VR now and available, there's developers that are playing it. There's people who own it and loving it. There's a lot of great games. This is the right time. It's just you need to have people building more faith into it that you can't just go and make a next generation. People are just falling in love with it right now. Hey, Sharif, I have a Rift. I love it, but it's still too early for traction.
So the other thing also is Fallout 76. I don't know if this news, if it's considered news, if you'd call it news. But when you have to announce that there may be bugs and something that you're bringing out, I think that there's a level of quality assurance that takes place before, right, things get released. Most of the time, I believe. So I didn't really see that as news for me. Fallout 76 may have bugs, says Bethesda, that kind of a thing. So you have that, and I'll definitely back up. I'll let you speak about the Famitsu news. So we can definitely cover that real quick.
Man, you know, this link, I can't read any of it.
You can't read any of it. All right. So the situation with this particular thing is that in speaking to Japanese gaming magazine Famitsu, emulation specialty developer M2 CEO Naoki Ori mentioned that they were close to finalizing plans to bring Dreamcast games to the Switch. So essentially, that's that bit of a news. I am excited for the individuals who are playing to get the Switch or have the Switch already, because I believe that Dreamcast was ahead of its time in some way, shape, or form, right? Just it was an amazing console, and I still believe it is. If you ever get a chance to experience it, definitely check that out. So to see the games on that particular platform go on other platform or consoles, depending how you want to say that, or hybrids, that kind of a thing, I think is a beautiful thing. So having set that up, give me some more on that.
Okay. Hi, Hundreds. Whew. The Dreamcast was definitely a great system. And like everyone was saying, it was amazing and way ahead of its time. I feel that way for the Dreamcast and the Sega CD. They were just Sega in general was always ahead of its time and what it was offering. And I love that entire system brand. I find these things interesting how you have, like, at one point you had Sega and Nintendo kind of like competing factors, but now they're going to be bringing their Dreamcast system to the Switch. I'm like, I'm glad there's a partnership there. I'm glad we're working with this. I would personally own a Dreamcast Mini if that was available. I'm just putting out there, saying, universe, make that happen. But yeah, it just had a lot of great games on that system that people are missing out on, and that, you know, it's go back to revisiting them.
Power Stone.
I think that was a, yes.
That was amazing.
Sorry, like my throat is just super dry and sore.
It's all good. What was it? The NFL. What was it? 90. What was the NFL on that thing that was really, really good?
Well, I'm not too sure.
The NFL game on Dreamcast is really, really good. NBA 2K, I guess the beginnings of that was really dope. Shenmue, NFL 2K, that's right. Dope. Power Stone was my jam. Like, I'm getting that stone and becoming the super duper monster. Well, a bigger alter ego version of myself. Because you were using the elements of, you know, like the table, chairs, you're throwing different things. I mean, Power Stone needs to make a comeback somewhere. That game was really, really cool. I believe that was Capcom as well. So that was neat. So looking forward to seeing those things take place. Anything on Fallout 76? May have bugs, just like we may have notes on a particular episode when we record.
Like we may have notes. I accept that every game that comes out has bugs.
Okay.
Even if they don't say they have bugs, I just assume that all games have bugs. It's bound to happen. That's it. I know at some point it will be patched and fixed. It's not going to stop anybody from playing it. Like, I think in this day and age with this, I don't know, mentality, you just expect to have like some huge day one patch that takes forever for the bugs that they didn't catch. It is what it is.
I'm glad they're letting us know that they're going to have bugs. Because the expectation, right, has changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we should expect that anyway. So Intellivision plans come back with a new console called Amico in 2020. Any thoughts on that as I live link this stuff, Daniela?
I'm going to shame myself on this one. But growing up and to this day, not that I really took the time to really find out if there was a difference. I never knew what the true difference was between Intellivision and ColecoVision.
I couldn't tell you. Maybe Chad can tell us. I have no idea. You know, I didn't have an Atari. I started with Nintendo. I was a Sega Master System, a Nintendo TurboGrafx-16, Sega Genesis, Sega Saturn, no Sega CD, and then it went from there, right? So the Intelli, I have no idea. No clue.
But this comes out again, just kind of like the Atari came out again. It is very specific to a very core set of gamers. It's not, I don't feel like it's going to really fully interest the younger gamers. Definitely for those collectors, the nostalgia value. They definitely need to do something like Atari did, where it includes some other way of like playing, you know, not only just the older games, but for like newer titles that are coming out to maintain relevance, to maintain some sort of audience, to keep the funding coming in. If it doesn't offer that, it should be silly if it didn't. I don't know how well it would do.
Mm. Interesting. Interesting stuff there. So you're looking forward to other mini consoles, as you mentioned, right? Dreamcast, which mm-hmm. we need to see, right? I think that'd be neat to see. I have stories with the Dreamcast, but because there may be legal matters involved, I don't think I could share them. Just in case, you know, any of this part of this conversation can be used against me in a court of law, but that kind of a thing. But Dreamcast was fun back in the days. So many good times with the Dreamcast, man. Okay, so there's that. So PlayStation Classic definitely has intrigued me because of the lineup of games that they have coming out for the system. There's some awesome titles there. Not sure if Ridge Racer is definitely my thing. Maybe one of them. But not. I didn't play every single Ridge Racer. So I'm going to name the games on this particular list. Definitely Battle Arena Toshinden. That was cool. Cool Borders 2, I don't remember. Destruction Derby, I don't remember. Final Fantasy 7? I think that's 7. Mm-hmm. Grand Theft Auto, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld, Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations, Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4. I think that was the one I really liked too. I may have to look into that. Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, Tekken 3, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, and Wild Arms. Any thoughts on that?
You know, I gotta go back and look at something because I thought they said 30 games, not 20 games. Mm-hmm. I still have it pre-ordered. I don't think I'm gonna cancel my pre-order.
Let's look at it. Before you go into your dope thoughts here. October 29, PlayStation blog post. At the top of it, today we are happy to reveal the entire lineup of the 20 games. Maybe they said something before that, which I know we were talking about it, but they never necessarily mentioned what the games were at the time we were talking about it, maybe a few weeks ago. I think we kind of had an idea what the price was going to be, but the floor is yours.
Some of the titles, okay, it was, never mind. I went to the past, it was 20. I don't know why I thought it was 30. Silly me.
It's all good.
No, like, I'm still gonna get it. The ones that interest me the most, obviously, I love Final Fantasy VII. Metal Gear Solid, Oddworld was a lot of fun. Resident Evil, the Director's Cut, that was a lot of fun. Grand Theft Auto, oh my goodness. I feel like so much people forgot that Grand Theft Auto was actually a top-down game.
That's right.
Which is a lot of fun. I really, really liked it. And Twisted Metal was That was my jam right there. That was what I spent the most time playing on the PS1. So I'm excited nonetheless. Still got it pre-ordered. I'm not going to cancel it.
Mm. Yeah, it looks really good.
I don't know.
Excited.
I don't know why I thought it was 30 games. That's right around the corner. That's like just over a month from now. December 3rd. Perfect Christmas item.
Yeah, definitely close. Definitely close for sure. I think... Okay, so no, well, I have to go into this a little bit later, but it's definitely related to ongoing games and stuff like that. 2B, your favorite game, one of your favorite game characters, because you played the game Nier Automata, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That character is heading into Soul Calibur. I'm not sure if you're going to do anything with Soul Calibur, but what are your thoughts on 2B heading into other games?
It's amazing how many people tagged me or mentioned it to me that, oh, 2B is going to be in Soul Calibur 6. Like, I like Nier Automata. Well, no, I love Nier Automata. But I'm not really there for Soul Calibur 6. Like, I was excited for it initially, and then I kind of at the point where, okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is. I know that a lot of people have been having a lot of fun with the character customization. And just going ham on it, but I don't know. I don't know what happened or what switched off, and suddenly I'm like, I'm not interested in Soul Calibur 6. I didn't even give it a try. There wasn't a negative, like, anything that happened. I'm just kind of like, cool story, bro. I don't know. I'm probably going to get so much hate for it right now. I have no words.
Okay. Are you done with fighting games? I'll ask that.
For yeah, I guess so for right now. I mean, it's not like it's always been my favorite thing. It's a nice kickback thing, and I throw it on because it's something that you can get in quick, in and out, which is perfect for that. But I'm still kind of on my Tekken 7 kick on it, so I'm good. Although I did get to play a little bit of Dragon Ball FighterZ over the weekend, and I kind of just want to play that.
Nice. Yeah, it looks like a beautiful game. So Aaron says, RE, MGS, GTA, and Siphon Filter, it's way too expensive for me. PlayStation 20 PlayStation games. I don't know. What would be a sweet spot? $79.99?
Well, if you're only going to play those four games, you're essentially kind of spending $25 per game.
Right.
It's almost kind of like a waste. Like, you're just buying it because it looks really nice on your shelf if it's at that point.
Word.
Like, for me to justify the purchase, like, you have to play at least, or want to play at least eight. Eight of the titles on there, at least. Because if you're only going to play, those four, well, you might as well go to your nearest thrift store or garage sale, pick up a PS1 and buy the games used.
Word.
I like it. I guess it's best for me to get my old one out. See? Yeah, that's what Aaron says.
That's about right. Okay, so you have that Soul Calibur character creation mode. You seen any of those things?
Yeah. That's like the only thing that I think is actually kind of like cool.
Oh, man. Microsoft mock-up smartphone controller. I'm going to have a link in the show notes for that. I have to find it, but it looked very interesting, but at the same time, I was turned off by it.
Why?
Because I don't see myself using a controller for my smartphone, right? I think my smartphone is a remote for other apps, whether that's your Spotify, your Google Chromecast, or it's the central hub unit for my stuff, whether that's Google Home and some other stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. I may watch movies on it, you know, like, you know, Netflix stuff or Plex and things like that. But I don't see myself connecting a Bluetooth controller to my phone. Maybe in the past, but not now. There's really no need for it because most of the time I'm using a PlayStation controller anyway. So I'm kind of, you know, loyal to that platform right now as it relates to controllers. I think that's fair. So that's my thoughts on it. Would you connect the controller to your smartphone?
Maybe if I really wanted to be like a diehard mobile player. I'm more so about adding the little thigh grip attachments to better hold the phone so that you can use your thumbs on your screen better. But I have a full dedicated controller for it. I don't know. I know people do it for the mobile PUBG games and Fortnite, but I wouldn't personally just go out and buy it.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't spend extra money on it. That's just too much for me.
Fair enough. Next thing that we have. Okay, so PlayStation, PSN IDs, right? Everyone, a good portion of the population, right, got excited that they were going to have the opportunity to change their PSN ID. That was news, right? Everyone got excited about that. But as the stuff started coming out as it relates to that, it doesn't look as good as it did with the announcement itself, right? So according to this particular article, I'm just going to pick a spot and just go into it. Players receiving the invite has begun to report a bizarre laundry list of potential issues associated with the name change and a disclaimer attached to the invite. According to forum users on Reset Era, players receiving the invite are being warned to be aware of the software's restrictions, noting that players might experience some issues with the name change. And it sounds like a whole bunch of stuff. Whether you may lose some stuff, hours logged in a particular game that you're going to suffer from that whole change. So I don't know if it's a great idea for everybody. Your name has to be really, really bad for you to decide, you know what, Fancy Pants 6987 may need a change, but you may suffer, some loss, with that. So I think you're good with your name.
Yep.
From what I gather.
I don't need to change it.
I think I'm good. I don't know if I'm going to change mine because it matches pretty much all my stuff now. Thank God for that. But there is potential danger to lose content in that particular situation. So PSN ID change, link in the show notes. I'm going to have that for sure. If you're considering it, please really, really think about changing Bizarre 112 back in the day. Back that thing up. Whatever your name is. whatever it is,
like that thing.
Just be sure that you absolutely want to make the change as far as your PSN ID is concerned. So the link in the show notes will be for that. Chat, I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. Will you change your name? Not change your name? I'm happy with my name, says Aaron. So it could get really, really crazy. So definitely, please don't be mad. Because the news is out there, the news bits are out there as it relates to the changes that may affect you if you consider going with a different name. So I'll say that. So be careful with that. Oh, man. So this one is interesting. Okay. So I'll let you have it first, Danielle. Anthem, go ahead. I'll let you have that first.
Man, I'm playing catch up as everything here. I don't care. I want it. I want to play it. I want to experience it. But this gameplay footage looks actually really, really amazing. I'm going to see if I can pull this up real quick because I didn't have it set up beforehand. I got nothing bad to say about it. Nothing. Like, you do. Obviously, you do. I can see the gears turning. It's like, well, you don't have anything. I got it.
Okay, so all I have to say about it is that, love it or hate it, right? Destiny is the benchmark for a lot of the games that we see with the same similar setups. That's all I have.
Yeah, 100%.
That's all I have that I can share. That's all I have. Okay.
Well, that's the thing. Like, even before, I also stated, like, if people were interested in Destiny, this could be that good Destiny replacement that people are looking for. Like, for me, that's what I feel like it might be because Destiny didn't appeal to me. But this one does.
Okay.
Like, so even the trailers of Destiny for both 1 and 2, it looked cool. I'm like, oh, that looks like a fun co-op. But this one I want to get my hands on. Yes.
Okay. So I have to say there is no Destiny replacement.
There is no Destiny
replacement. There is no Destiny replacement.
Okay.
I mean, find it. Where is it?
It's right there. Anthem.
Nothing. Based on a 13-minute video that you have right now, which was recent according to Paris Games Week, and then the video that came out during E3 times, We have a nice flying B-roll, if you want to call it that. Beautiful graphics, right? Audio engineering sounds great. It looks beautiful. But that's all we have, Daniela. That's all we have.
That's all you have with Destiny 2. That's for my opinion of how
Daniela?
I look at, that's how I look at Destiny.
Daniela, come on now.
That's how I feel about it.
I know just that's how you feel about
to,
it.
When it comes to Destiny, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the content after the fact that came out has made it great and people are enjoying it again. But, you know, having extra DLC or expansion shouldn't be what decides if the game is good from the start. It should be good from the start, period.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, there are games that progressed and got better. For whatever reason, Castle Crashers, I guess because it's one of my favorite titles, sticks out when it first came out. There were a lot of multiplayer issues with Castle Crashers, if I remember correctly. So correct me, fact check that. That's fine. But over time, it got really good. Castle Crashers is one of the dopest side-scrolling titles that we've seen, you know, in recent, I guess, console platforms, if you want to say that, right? So I love that game. Then you have games like The Division, right? Different game. Came out. We ran out of stuff to do. What we have to do after that? Okay, so they had to
that
revamp the whole
too.
Thing. Daniela. So they had to revamp the whole thing for a consistent roadmap for us to enjoy stuff with The Division. And The Division, I love it. I don't play it like I play Destiny, but I think it's great where it is right now. And from what I played at E3, it's going to be really, really good. Even better than the first iteration of the game, right? So Aaron says, Division Anthem, many have come, few have lived up to the hype. I agree. I'm excited to try Anthem, but it's EA and BioWare. Okay, elaborate on that, Aaron, because I'm trying to be, you know, very neutral in my approach. I know it's hard for me to do because I am a super fan. You know, I'm at 599 right now with Destiny 2. I got one more point to get 600 to max out. Super fan. You know, everyone who has listened to this podcast for any length of time, if it's your first time, thank you for hanging out. But I love the game, right? But some games just don't, you know, I'm trying to be neutral. I know it's very hard for me to do. Paris Games Week showed this footage, you know, according to that particular channel. So it looks really, really good. I like what I'm seeing. And I just want to see what else they have when they come out. That's all.
I give that to Aaron, though, that it is an EA BioWare game. I feel like if the game's going to be bad, it's on EA.
Okay, so can I push a little bit? I'm going to push the point a little bit. What is going on with Battlefield 5 right now? Can anybody tell me what's happening? I don't even know what's going on with Battlefield 5. And what I mean by that is, are we really excited for Battlefield 5? Okay, if you're a Battlefield 5 fan, that's cool. But what's going on? Okay, so the Blackout, I think, is going to be released later on, right? After the game launches and stuff like that. They have a whole thing as far as like how you're going to be able to try out the game before it releases. They have this whole guide, okay, for Battlefield 5 of how you're going to be able to play the game. What is going on? I don't know what's going on with Battlefield for me to be excited about it. The main issue I have with EA and BioWare games, it seems, outside of what was that big? Mass Effect. Outside of Mass Effect 2, the issue I have with FPSs for EA is that I don't feel like the hitboxes are accurate for me when I'm shooting things. Ever. I don't, right? Whether it's Battlefield 4, 3, there were instances with COD. I know that's not your thing, Daniela, but just go with me for 1 second, right? I know there's instances with COD where I think I would say if I had a heavy critique on any COD game, it would be Black Ops, the first one where the hitboxes were terrible, in my opinion. That's my opinion, right? But outside of that, most of the other games that came after it, the hitboxes and the aiming stuff was good on there. But Black Ops, the first one, was horrible. Black Ops 2 is probably one of my favorites, right? But I mean, what's going on with Battlefield 5? Like, it looks amazingly beautiful. Aaron says Battlefield 5 has free DLC. That's a step forward. And that's great. That's great. But what else? Are you going to be playing that over COD right now?
No, nobody's going to be. Nobody's going to be. And Battlefield, they screwed up on that point. That's on their bad. They're already off to a bad start. The fact that this COD is like almost across the board, people are saying it is the best COD that they have ever played, and they are loving it. So the people who are interested in playing Battlefield 5 are the diehard fan.
Has to be.
That's kind of it. I mean, yeah, it's just a forward that their DLC is going to be free, but is that enough to draw people over to play it? Probably not. If they can't match their gameplay and whatever modes that they may have for it to be competitive and equally exciting and smooth as this Black Ops 4 is right now, they're kind of already lost the battle. And it sucks to say that because it hasn't even come out yet.
Right. And that's all I'm saying. So you may not like, you may be doing your thing wherever you are. Shout outs to you. You may not like what I'm saying. That's great. Right. But at the end of the day, Battlefield 5 looks beautiful, right? No doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Same thing for Battlefield 1. It looks amazingly beautiful. But what else? That's it, right? If the game is not going to be an ongoing game in any way, shape, or form right now, an RPG-esque type of thing that we're going to go back in and play over and over again, because Team Deathmatch is great, but after a while, I don't want to do that. I want to roam around. I want to smell some flowers. I want to grab some planetarium materials, right? I want to do that. You know, I want to stop and maybe do an assassination mission real quick in the game, right? And then decide if I just want to chill and just be in chat, right? Maybe help a friend do a particular mission. I don't want to do team deathmatch all the time or conquest or whatever the mode is. You know, I need something else. And if I'm not going to get that, then I'm not going to play. That's all I'm saying. So you have that. So Anthem looks great. I'm going to reserve my thoughts on it. Okay, so when do you want to play Battlefield 5? I kind of went into that a little bit earlier because we were kind of talking about it already. Essentially, there's a guide to show you exactly how and when you're going to be able to play Battlefield 5 according to the platforms. The link for that will be in the show notes, definitely, for sure. Okay, so that's that. Anything that you want to talk about before I go into the rest of the stuff, Danielle?
Mm-mm. I'm good.
Okay, so Destiny 2. So let's roll into that. You know, I'm not going to be very long-winded there because I already, you know, said my piece. There's an update coming tomorrow. Tomorrow being Tuesday, that's going to help individuals who have been really grinding for exotics and you haven't been able to get the exotics. So I'm not going to say that, you know, the grind has been difficult. I'll say that. Especially when you're trying to put in your medallion, you know, booster, and you have your ghost, which is giving you the proper XP for every planet or whatever, but yet you're not getting the exotics that you're getting. So they're making changes that's going to make it easy for you to do the exotic drops, right? So according to this, I'll read a couple of lines. You know, when you're receiving an exotic, we will take into account all exotics you found and weigh them against exotics you have yet to acquire. This lowers the chances of receiving exotics you already own. And that's been a gripe, complaint, belly ache for most Guardians, right? So they're making that change. Exotics that you do not yet own will be individually weighed much higher than duplicate exotics. When receiving duplicate exotics, you will be more likely to earn armor pieces as they have randomly rolled perks. Exotic quest weapons are being removed from the exotic engram loot pool. So another thing that are going to change, Masterwork cores will be renamed to Enhancement cores. The link will be in the show notes for the rest of that. Definitely check that out. Exciting stuff. Thoughts on that?
My thoughts on
that. I'm just saying. I mean, because we got to chat. We got to talk about these things. So, you know, I know there's always a Destiny moment from time to time. So, I got to hear what you're thinking.
I'm not too sure what I'm thinking. Okay. That's a lot, considering that I just don't play it at all anymore.
Okay.
I know a lot of great things have come out for it, and it's got people hype and excited to play again.
Pretty dope. pretty dope.
But I don't know what these updates are. I know what they are. I just don't know how they are.
Okay. Okay. So essentially the main thing right now is trying to get to 600 power, which is the max at this time. If you do the Festival of the Lost, you get the Horror Story Assault Rifle that gets you a 600 primary weapon, which boosts your ability to get to 600 light level to max out your light level at this time right now. Festival of the Lost does not give you the opportunity to get two Horror Stories, just one. So I tried to get a second one, but they were like, bruh, you're out of your mind. Stop playing around. You only get one. Okay. So I was like, okay, fair enough. So you have that. Last Wish is a raid. So the Leviathan raid I did a couple of times. I'm a big pulse rifle person as it relates to the game. The Trust hand cannon is absolutely amazing. If you ever get that in the Gambit mode, that's cool. So just a whole bunch of good stuff happening with that. So a particular news bit, a rumor, Destiny 3 rumors. This one was submitted by El Taco Justice. So definitely shout out to you for submitting this particular news bit. And this one talks about how the game will change in terms of being from semi-difficult to acquire things to a much more tougher difficulty to do things, which is interesting, right? So one paragraph even at the very top. Rumors surface that Bungie has started development on another installment in the Destiny franchise, presumably titled Destiny 3. A serial leaker in the Destiny community has potentially let us in some of the interesting details, especially regarding the rumored gameplay and story. According to this particular individual, Annan the Nine, Bungie is going to be moving away from some of the core concepts of Destiny 2 and Destiny 3. Destiny 2 came under a lot of criticism, and rightfully so. So what's going to be changing? Gamers who play Destiny 3 only 2 hours a week will abandon the game because it will be too hardcore for them. So that's one of the major changes that's happening. Link for that is going to be in the show notes. As you read this particular article, it specifically says these are rumors. They're not facts according to what's happening in a particular universe for Destiny. This has been another Destiny moment. Daniela, TwitchCon. Daniela, TwitchCon.
Yo, you know what? You're going to have to talk about most of these.
I am? Okay, so fair enough.
Aaron says, looks like they want to make things less for the casual gamer, which is the best idea for Destiny. The reason Destiny 2 was rough at launch was because everything was so casual and they're trying to tap into fans of other shooters. Well, you can't blame them for trying to tap into that because in the long run, I mean, you want to attract more people to your game and to play it. And, you know, Destiny 1 was a little bit harder for the casual people to get into. And then Destiny 2 was too casual for, you know, the longtime hardcore fans. So there has to be a nice middle ground, which I think, you know, even though I haven't played it, but I think with the release of the DLCs and expansions that they had, it started getting that trend where there was a nice balance. It's geared more towards the hardcore fans who want to put in that grind and that dedication to it. But it still was welcoming for the ones that are casual, the ones that are just kind of like, you know, want, you know, just a shooter to throw on. But yeah, it was definitely very rough for them.
Did they let down the hardcore fans, though, Aaron? I mean, like, even now, I still feel like I'm going back to some stuff just to... I think now it's at a good place. I guess I definitely want to hear some additional thoughts on that, Aaron. I guess how you're thinking about it right now. Because right now, I feel like the game is at a great place for you to decide, okay, so today, this is the agenda of the day, right? Or this is the agenda of the next couple of days. If I'm really trying to get this armor piece from 575 to 585 with the new piece that just dropped, I really need to decide how many times I'm going to go to Spider, because every time I buy in my Masterwork Core from Spider, he doubles the price, right? So I can only get two or three Masterwork Cores from him that day. So I think that the game has allowed us to really be even more strategic on how we buy stuff and how we consider upgrading you know, this primary versus this power weapon, and even get the ones that are, you know, sought after, you know, like the sleeper, which I just got recently, and it's amazing. And I see why that I had to go through all the nonsense I had to go through just to get the weapon, and it's worth it, right? Exotics were very common, and the perks were meh. I think giving away exotics in the main story and just making things so simple to get. Okay, yeah, okay, I could see that. That definitely makes sense. But now, it seems like, this is my opinion, before this change that's about to happen Tuesday, that, so this is dropping, yeah, okay, so yeah, this is dropping by Tuesday, that if your power level wasn't at a particular place, I would say 540s or 555s and up, I didn't see exotics until around that time. But that's just my situation, because RNG is RNG. But I think right now they're really trying to make it to a place where you have to make certain decisions on what you're going to do. Like even now, as I'm thinking, I need to go into the Whisper mission to fill the essence for my my sniper rifle, the Whisper of the Worm. Before Tuesday. If I don't do that before Tuesday, you know, the Whisper is going to go away, right? I think that's when it resets, right? So just knowing that I want to do that, or do I want to get 600 tonight? What do I want to do? Or what do I want to chase, right? So I think we have to make choices like that. It's very, very difficult. So TwitchCon, right? Danielle, you walk the show floor. I watch the vids. That's what happened, essentially.
Yes, it is.
Okay. You grabbed interviews. I did my thing on my side.
Yeah. Because, well, there was. I had some key things I wanted to go and check. I mean, we had our homie, Blackoni. He had, he had a couple panels. I had them on my schedule. It just collided with some things that I had going on. You know how E3 2017 was so jam packed and crazy that people were complaining about making meetings and getting across? That's how TwitchCon felt for me. Not necessarily trying to make some meetings, was just trying to move
forward. Were you doing the penguin thing again?
Yeah, but you know what? My penguin couldn't move. My penguin was like this in the same spot sometimes. Like, I just want to get through.
You can't get through.
It was difficult. It was painful. It was a lot of things. Yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I kind of made panels my secondary because I, like I said at the beginning of the show, I wanted those one-on-one connections, those personal conversations. And if I found somebody, because that happened a lot, that happened a whole lot where, you know, I came across somebody, you know, I've always wanted to meet, or somebody found me like, hey, it's you. You know, I'm not the type of person that's going to be like, oh, hold that for 1 second. I got somewhere to run. I'll catch you later. Like, if you took the time out to stop me to talk, I'm going to give you that equal amount of time and attention too. Unless, like, there's like, the only time I would have that does not apply is if I have something that's hardcore set that it's super, super, super important that I need to go and make, if it was an appointment. If it was a panel that was missing, yeah, you know what? You're more important than, you know, this panel that I'm talking to from people that I don't know, because at least I have a relationship with you. I want to talk with you. And so that's how I made that as my, you know what? If I can make it, I can make it. Great. Catch it later. If not, you know what? I'm having these talks. I'm getting to meet these people that I have never been able to see. Like the last day, somebody that I've been following for like 5-6 years online, we got to meet for the very first time. And bless his heart, he super stuck around, because I was like in the middle of this one meeting. Can't exactly talk about it, but it went a bit longer than I thought it was going to. And he stuck around. Like he stayed later, past what he needed to do. And we got to talk. We got to walk around. And it was nice. I mean, not everything has to be super, super businessy all the time, but like in this industry and the people, you know, you never know who you're talking to. You never know where they may be. You never know where you may end up. Like, how those impressions come across plays a big deal. And I would love, like, I don't think I can get everybody to like me. That's impossible. But I would like it if, you know, the people that matter the most to me, that have supported me throughout these years and everything I've done, has that positive outlook of like, you know, you're worth my time too. If I was worth your time to support, you're worth my time to just like, let's hang out, let's go and do stuff. You know, a panel is not more than you are. And that's how I approached it. Now I have to go through the hassle of finding all the bots and all the videos of the panels I miss. And like, all right, let's sit through these and see what's happening. I don't even know like many of the things that were announced. If somebody was to ask me, so what was the showroom floor like? It was packed, but I can't tell you where everything was. Like the core things that I wanted to check out, I knew where to find. But other than that, I don't know.
All right. So let's do that first then. So I watched, and I'm still going through some videos that speak to me, right, according to the title. I definitely watched the keynote, right? And so the keynote, one of the things that they announced was Squad Stream. Up to four creators will be able to stream together in a single view that viewers discover when they visit any one of their channels. Viewers can watch on desktop and mobile as well as easily follow and subscribe to all channels. Chat is linked to whichever channel a viewer selects as their main view, so they can hang out with their friends or jump over to another community with just a click or a tap. Select streamers will be testing out Squad Stream later this year. That's one thing during the keynote.
You do know that Twitch is probably the last platform to be actually jumping on this a possibility. YouTube was the first one. Mixer also does it.
Yep.
And now Twitch finally does it.
Yep. So that's one of the things that they announced. So you have that. Highlight Editor updates. Highlight Editor will now allow streamers and editors to stitch together moments from across a video into a single highlight. Look for this update in January. You like that one? No? Yes?
Do you care? I don't know. Maybe if I had editors that did stuff like that for me. Or if I had time to do that for myself. I mean, it makes it simple. Like, nobody really has to use it, download it, stitch it together, and whatever software that they use, and then render it, then upload it.
Word. So you have that. New featured sections on a Twitch homepage. Starting later this year, we're rolling out a range of new featured sections, like ones highlighting up-and-coming streamers, new partners and affiliates, or streamers local to the viewer. Is that like Hype Boost?
That's Hype Boost.
Hype Boost is a Microsoft Mixer thing.
Oh.
I don't know. When I heard that particular announcement, it felt to me like it was a Hype Boost thing. But it may very well be something completely different. Connect.
But
go ahead. Talk to me.
Well, it also gives and encourages people to use the highlighting feature.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a good tool. There's a lot of great tools that Twitch has that not so many people use. Like, people clip it, awesome. But not very many people will take that same clip, possibly download it, upload it to, like, as a quick little highlight attachment to their tweet. Because from social media aspect, just let you know, your tweets get more attention if they have, like, a GIF, a photo, a video that's attached to it. People like, hey, what is this? When you're calling out, you're like, hey, you're streaming, those little highlights, whether they be 10 seconds or 30 seconds or a minute, attracts people. They like, oh, wow, that was a funny moment. That was great. That was an awesome play and want to go and check you out. Not a lot of people do that. They just take the clips and like, done.
Word.
And highlights too. I mean, not a lot of people choose the highlights because there's a difference. It's amazing how many streamers don't know what the difference necessarily is between having a clip of them and having a highlight of them, and yet alone how to use it appropriately to help boost them a bit more. I'm one of those people. I know the purpose of it. I know how to use it, but it's also time consuming a little bit unless you have those stream markers. So like, yeah, I want to highlight this moment, and having to find it, not a lot of people do that. So having editors that you add on to your page is always a great idea as well too. And I feel like this feature is a way for them to push that a bit more. How will they determine who the up-and-coming streamers are, though? That's always a very interesting, you know, way to put it. I don't think they're ever going to give out their algorithm about how to determine it, but they will probably have something in their algorithm that will show up like kind of like a little bit customized suggested panels for you based off of your viewing history. and depending on how something is tagged, like, because they had the whole, they added the whole new tagging system. So if your video is tagged with, you know, co-op stream or casual playthrough, and that's what your video is too, and that's why they notice people are paying attention to those tags more, that'll probably be another way that they show what it is. Like, tons of people can be considered an up-and-coming streamer. It's very easy for them to determine who's a new partner, but I feel that up-and-coming streamer, that term is a very loose thing that's probably going to be tied to your viewing history.
Yeah, so even looking at the one that says new partners, I'm sure they'll know who those individuals are. And they did do numbers as far as the new partners and the new affiliates and stuff like that. So as far as those numbers, definitely check out the VOD for that. And new affiliates, I'm sure they're going to know who those individuals are for them. And the streamers local to the viewer, when you look at your dashboard, it shows you who's watching you from where. So they may pull, the algorithm may be tied to that to see who's local to you. And then, you know, if you're in New York, then they could see, you know, that kind of a thing. So they have all those numbers. And they were giving a lot of numbers out during the keynote itself. So definitely check out the VOD for that. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really neat. So you have that. Any more thoughts on that?
No, that's kind of it. I thought it's a nice feature. That's what I think. It's just that they're trying to find ways for people to use those additional tools that they have to, like, remind them, hey, this is here. Here's some way that, you know, to encourage you to use it.
Word. So it says, connect. We're giving streamers more tools to build stronger communities and relationships with their viewers. Strong communities spread the word about their favorite streamers, support each other in times of need, and welcome new viewers into the fold. Those relationships are part of what makes Twitch so different. So they announce VIP badges. Streamers will now be able to recognize valuable members of their community without requiring them to subscribe or moderate with VIP badges. VIP members are recognized with a badge and can also chat in slow, sub-only, or follower-only modes. Creators earn 10 badges when they complete the Build a Community achievement by reaching 50 followers and 5 unique chatters in a stream, and can earn up to 100 badges as their community grows. Look for this in a few weeks. Daniela, what's up?
I think that's awesome. I have some long-term viewers that come and hang out that they can't necessarily sub because they can't afford it. I always respect that. If you can't afford it, don't even try. Don't feel bad. Don't anything. But they are so incredibly supportive in different ways. I would love to be able to recognize them for that. For having these VIP badges, I already have the list of people I want to give these to. Like, in my head, this is the first time I'm hearing it. And, like, as you were talking, I was like, they're going to get one. They're going to get one.
That's dope.
Because they deserve it. Because they do a lot.
That's really dope. Okay, so that is awesome. That is awesome. Next thing, new moderator tools in chat. By clicking on someone's username, mods will be able to see how long that person has been on Twitch and details on their activity in the channel, like chats, number of timeouts, or bans. The update also includes a new comment tool that lets mods work together by leaving notes to each other or for each other. These new tools arrive in January.
That's cool. I like that. I don't necessarily have so many problems in my personal chat, but for girl streamers, man, that channel goes almost 24 hours a day. We have some long-term things. But if somebody bans inside the girl streamers chat, and then somebody's going to be asked why they're banned, then we pretty much have to find out, okay, who did it? Why did you do it? Do you remember it? And it's really, really hard. So the fact that we can leave little comments like, this is the reason why this person was timed out, or this was the reason this person was banned, it shows at least a history for us instead of like, okay, having to find out who it is. Oh, remember this happened in August of 2017? I'm like, no, I don't remember. Why are you asking me? So yeah, that is cool. I like that a lot.
All right. Cool. Next one. Roles management page. Streamers will be able to see and change their community members' roles from editors to mods to VIP from the new roles section on their dashboard. This is coming alongside VIP badges in a few weeks.
That kind of goes along. I mean, that's cool. Let's kind of figure out how they're going to make that easier to handle, but new page.
Very cool. Subscription badges now show total number of months. We heard your feedback loud and clear that subscription badges need to reward consistent supporters even if they miss a sub 1 month. Sub badges will now change to show the total number of months a viewer has been subscribed. If a viewer is on an amazing streak, they can still choose to share it when they resubscribe. This update is coming in January.
Finally. No, it's a huge issue because there's some people who can't consecutively, you know, sub. It happens. But, you know, they still want to be recognized for, like, the amount of time that they have. And it always sucks when you get reset down to zero when you had such an amazing amount of support in so many months. You're like, oh, man, I was at 13. Now I got to go back to 1 because I missed, like, a month or two. So it's having a hard time. Why should I be penalized for that? So this took way too long for them to come out with.
Yeah, I think I've heard you mention this one a couple of times. It's been a gripe for individuals as well for their stream. The next one that they talked about are extensions. As extensions continue to grow on Twitch, we're bringing you more ways to interact by teaming up with brands like Adobe, Tiltify, Spotify, as well as our friends at Amazon. Today at TwitchCon, we showed off Snap Camera, Snap's brand new standalone desktop app that works with a custom extension built just for Twitch. Snap Camera lets you use Snapchat's best lenses live on your stream with your webcam. With the Snap Camera extension, viewers can use Snapchat to scan the snap code on screen to try on the lens, and streamers can reward subs by activating a custom lens of the streamer's choosing when someone subscribes. Any thoughts on that?
I don't know. Not the biggest Snapchat user. I have it. I don't really regularly use it. I guess that could be fun. I gotta go and look and see.
So you have that?
I don't know. See, it seems a little bit more annoying. I don't know. I'll try it out.
All right. So you have that. Next category is called Thrive. To make it easier for streamers to find sponsored opportunities that feel authentic and align with their community's interests, we're opening Bounty Board to 30 more brands starting in November. Partners and select affiliates in the U.S. and Canada will be able to use Bounty Board to earn even more. And coming in 2019, and we'll open it up to more affiliates and more countries, beginning with the U.K. Bounty Boards. Daniela, what's up with that?
It's funny that you bring it up because before Twitch started, I actually had a conversation with one of our newest girl streamers partners, Hugsy, and she was talking to me about it. You know, I knew that Bounty Boards was a thing for partners and that they had that available. What I didn't know is that it was also available to affiliate. So I instantly signed up for it. It's currently in a beta. It's currently very, very select, and I don't know what they're using to determine who gets access to it or not, but it is a new way of earning revenue, income. It's kind of insane how that's going to go through. But yeah, I mean, I can't tell you what it looks like or anything like that. I can tell you what it looks like from the partner standpoint, but I can't tell you what it looks like from the affiliate standpoint. But it's, right. I do know that you have to be super quick to claim it because it's not like an unlimited amount of bounties available for it. Like first come, first serve. And it's when you have, I don't know how many, probably hundreds of thousands of affiliates. That's kind of hard to get. So you have to be super quick on the draw.
Yeah. And the last but not least, I'm sure you're going to have more stuff coming down the pipe. Twitch Sings. We knew karaoke would be a perfect place to start. Okay. Jumping down one paragraph. It's always entertaining. And when it really gets going, the line between the crowd and the stage disappears completely, which with Twitch Sings, I'm trying not to say that too fast. You can sing your heart out, share your performances across Twitch, or perform duets with your community. And being in a crowd is just as much fun as holding the mic, and just as important.
In chat, you can request songs, give your favorite streamers crazy challenges to tackle. And when you cheer, you will see bits will rain down on the crowd. We're testing Twitch Sings on the expo floor, which is done now because this is Monday, at TwitchCon, as soon with a handful of streamers live on Twitch in closed beta. We can't wait to hear what you think about that. Go here and register if you're interested in trying it out. More of you will be invited as space opens up. Twitch
you Sings. Have no idea how sad we were that we didn't actually get to play this, because it had a really nice booth, really flashy booth there. And me and a couple of guys that we went with, we loved karaoke. Well, okay, no, maybe not a couple. One of us liked karaoke. We were going to bring everybody else. So I was like, you doing this with us? We didn't get the amount of time to go and do it. And like I said, friend, he was working the tiny build booth. So he only had so much time available to him. And between me running around, I was so sad. By the time we could, it was already the ending of the show day. It was impossible. But I want in on it. I'm going to send him this link too, because I didn't know. Since we didn't get to stop by the booth and talk with them, I didn't know they were signed up for these things. I am sending it his way, and we are doing this. I am not the greatest singer. I cannot, like, if my life depended on it and I had to sing on tune, I'd be dead. But you know what? I'm going out with stars because I love karaoke so much. And I don't think it's stereotyping because Filipinos like their karaoke, but making it happen.
That's all good. That's all good. So that's the keynote in a nutshell, right? Those are some of the things that took place there. In terms of the stats, if you want those specific numbers as far as new partners and new affiliates and, you know, how many emotes and all that stuff, that's in the keynote as well. I'll definitely check that out. You'll have a great time looking up that stuff. Okay, so that's what's going on there. So to me, what really impacted me outside of the keynote are some of the conversations that took place with the panels, right? So the panels that I checked out included The Secret Language of Twitch, which talked about emotes and how we view them when we see them in chat. That kind of conversation surrounded that. It was a great conversation there was a linguist there, a Swiftor was there, and then there was an emote artist there as well. And then the guy moderating the panel was an individual who's not necessarily doing any Twitch anything, but really wanted to moderate the panel, applied for it and got it, was really excited about it, and he did a fantastic job. So that was a good panel to check out. The Secret Language of Twitch. So I checked that out. The next one was very interesting, which I didn't know how much I wanted to go into this one. This one, it seems like there's a lot of, you know, buzz with this particular one. This one is the professional streaming mindset and interactive discussion. Now, prior to all the stuff that I've seen on social media in regards to some bits that came out of this particular panel, this one, I'm trying to figure out how I want to go into this. I was watching the panels before any news bit came out, right? And then there was a particular thing that was said in this panel where the guy in the center apparently has a God complex. And I think that there's a lot of videos that were cut. I think 1 minute video of something that he was saying in regards to he doesn't necessarily want to have a relationship with any of the people who support him on the platform, right? No relationship. That's his goal. He doesn't want to have anything to do with anybody. You're there, cool, but that's not, he's not trying to have a relationship with you. But one of the things that he said that really sparked the flames, if you want to say that, is the fact that he believes that to some extent he has like a God complex, according to how he was saying it, paraphrasing, not quoting him, that he feels that he's above average. He's above the average individual. And according to what he was saying, that he had a God complex. So that made buzz in the news, you know, Twitter, social media, whatever. A lot of people talked about that. from what I understand, word on the street, he's very young. He's about, you know, if you consider that young, 21, give or take. They had choice words for him, and I'll say that. I'm not going to go too much into that particular aspect of it. Everyone's going to have, they're going to say what they're going to say about the guy. That's just the world that we live in. But when you say stuff on the internet, whether you're doing it on a podcast, you're doing it on a video, whatever you do it on, you give people license to critique what you say. Okay, which is why I'm trying to be very careful what I say here or wherever I'm at, that kind of a thing. So did you get a chance to see that video, Daniela? I think.
I watched the clip, but I didn't get to watch the entire panel.
Right, right. And what did you think of
I want to see the whole thing in its entirety. I'm not too sure. I might play devil's advocate here because I can see it from actually both sides. His wording and his phrasing, absolutely poor. It was the way he was approaching it was really bad. Obviously, he's doing well for himself. So whatever he is doing and however way he's thinking and implementing it, it works for him. It continues to work for him. And guess what? As much as people don't like what he said, guess what? They're still going to support him. They're still going to be a fan of him. They're still going to be there for him. And he's still going to be where he's at.
Okay.
I don't know who this man is. I've never heard of him before.
I don't either.
I've never anything. So,
but if we were to
that take, also goes to show.
If we were to take what you said and then we insert the I don't want to play with women on my streams with the exact thing that you said as an answer, would it apply?
Yeah, obviously it still works for him. Like if Ninja said that, people are still supporting him. He's still huge and he's still growing and he's still bigger.
Right.
I didn't take any offense to it. I understand his reading. A lot of people didn't understand his reasoning, but I respect it.
Okay. Fair enough. Go ahead.
But for this guy, for him to go about it and to his whole thought process of, I don't want to have a relationship with my viewers and people who are supporting me. That's all of a personal thing. That is 100% a personal thing and a personal decision because I just don't think his wording was right. And that I'm assuming, I think I know what he means. You have to draw a line about how close you want to be to people. Like me, you come to Hawaii. Look, I'm going to take you out to dinner. We're going to hang out. I'll show you around. Cool. But some people, that's too much because they need to be able to separate their personal lives and their online streaming lives. And putting a very clear distinction between the type of relationship or lack of a relationship you want to have with yours. You need to do that if you want to keep those things separate. Is it great? Does it leave a good taste in people's mouths? No, it won't because they're there. They're supporting you. They want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of your life. But you need to have some type of privacy at the same time as well, too. And even though that's a very harsh line to draw and how to think about it, if that is what you think is best for you, then that's what it is. Now, to think on the other side of it, to have that God complex, to think that you are better than someone, that can be taken in so many different ways that I'm not quite sure what he means. I kind of think that I think I know what he means. When growing up, the way that I was raised on approaching situations and looking at it, and especially keeping that amount of confidence that you need when you are going out for something, whether it be a job or a position or some kind of award or promotion, you kind of have to have that mentality to psych yourself up to know that, or to feel that you're better than your competitors. Because if you start thinking that you're less than or you're not capable or like, oh, that person is better than me, they do this better than me, you bring down that negativity within yourself. And you start doubting what you're capable of. And when you don't have that confidence in yourself, nobody else is going to believe in you. You have to be that first person. I wouldn't say that I have a God complex, but if there's something that there's a select group of people, we're going out for the same job or the same position, which you can say that about amongst many streamers who are trying to go for that top position for a recognizable partnered streamer, you have to have that confidence to feel like I am better. I deserve this. I am worth this. But not to say that you have a God complex, that you're better than other people, that they aren't worth your time. So I have a lot of different views and aspects of what I think he means by it.
Okay. That's fair. So, all right, so I guess let's play it out a little bit. Who is his competition in the statement that he made? Okay, because there's a couple of things with that, right? There's what he said and the perception of what he said, right? And both can be crazy, right? If you want to look at that. So who is his competition in what he said? If you were to play that and then say, okay, his competition and what he said is who?
I don't even know who he is.
Okay, so my point in saying that is, in the statement that he made, he's not competing with anybody. He just made a statement according to his goals and aspirations, and then he made a, whether you want to call it a declaration or a statement about how he views people. You made a statement about the job stuff and competition for a particular position that you're going to have, right? So you have all this crowd looking up at him, and he's looking down at them as they are beneath him. So there's no, and in the context of what he said specifically, if, you know, I could be wrong, there's nobody competing with him in that scenario. Your scenario, the competition is, you know, Jim from, you know, San Fran, who's competing for the job, you know, Stacy from Denver, who's competing for the same job. Okay. You know, Susie from, you know, Florida, who's competing for the same job. His is, this is you and this is me, right? So there's no, you see what I mean? So That's what made it, you know, even amplified so crazy, because it's like, okay, bro, you realize you're talking with, like, about human beings, right? Like, all these individuals are supporting you on this platform. And like you said, you don't know who he is. I don't know who he is. And I don't think it matters. But if he said, you know, my competition is this guy and I want to destroy him, it wasn't anything like that. It was actually, you're down there, I'm up here, I might as well be in North Korea.
Hi, Shinto. So you can also be within competition of yourself. I'm not saying that what he did and what he said
you're
was right. Right.
You're right. No, but, you're right. I agree with you right there. In competition with yourself, that's great. I agree with you there. But go ahead. Carry on.
The mentality of some people, not every person, and this works, a whole lot. People who have that complex attracts people. People love to hate the person that plays the bad guy. They admire the person that plays that bad guy. It's kind of like, this is terrible, and this can be somewhat out of context, so please just try to stick with me there. It's kind of like those people who like to be in an abusive relationship.
I can see the relationship. I see what you mean. Okay, go ahead.
They, for whatever reason, feed off of that. They feed off of the negativity. They like that feeling of being used in a way. Does it right? No, it's not. It's completely unhealthy. But there's people who are just attracted to that, to people who are so full of themselves, and if people, you know, they want to be treated in that matter. It's very, very bizarre concept to me, 100%. I don't understand it, but it works.
Okay,
if that's what he's going with and that's what he's doing, sure. I mean, I don't think he sits there down talking to people he's, you know, who's in his chat. I don't think he's calling them scrubs or bad-mouthing them. But it's kind of like, you know, the popular kid in high school, he feels like really like he's a top dog amongst whatever this school is. And then people who aren't popular admire him. They want to be them. And it's the way that you get to be that popular kid is by thinking and acting that you are a better person. It's really cruddy. Doesn't make it right. I see where he's going from, and it's working for him. It's not a tactic that I would personally employ or suggest to, because you'll also, as much as you'll have people who are just like whining and dying for your attention, you'll have the equal amount of people who are hating you for what you just did and said and how you act and how you treat people. Hmm. It kind of depends, like, which side do you want to be on? And guess what? All this traction that he got for saying that how many people who don't know who he is, like you and I, are talking about him.
Right. I mean, it's
are definitely putting this time into them that they're going to go find out who he is. Like, who is this guy? Why is he having on this traction?
I'm not going to find out who he is. I'm not going to go find
out. Well, I know you won't be, but there are people who are because they're curious. Like, who is this guy?
Yes.
Why does he feel this way? Why does he think this way? What is he channel? What does he stream? And yeah, like Aaron said, even bad press is good press nowadays. Well, any news, good or bad, always positive for somebody in some way.
Yeah. So that panel was interesting. I enjoyed the panel. I enjoyed the moderator. You know, essentially, it was like, what's your name? What do you do? How are you unique? And then those questions were some of the questions being asked to every single person who decided to go up to the microphone in that panel. And the panel was Elspeth, the guy we were just talking about. And then there was another guy to his right. So definitely interesting panel. So you have that one. And then the next one I did check out, Past, Present, and Future. Emmett, Shear, and Ninja. That was about 30 minutes. Watch that. That was really cool. And some of the moments I didn't know at one point, or even if it's, I don't know if it's a thing right now, where Ninja had a detached retina. I didn't know that he had a situation with his eye. I learned that when I was watching the panel. So it was really interesting to know that. There was a situation that it's like you look at some of these people, you believe that they have no issues, no challenges at all, right? And then you hear this thing like detached retina. I didn't even know that. I would never think, right? We would never think that someone who's out there like that will have any type of challenges that they would have to overcome, but typically they do. And that's really where I wanted to go with that. Very cool panel, very lighthearted. In terms of what he's planning to do, how he's looking at the industry, what he's planning to do for New Year's Eve in Times Square, New York. I think there was a video that he put up and announced that during that particular panel. So that was really interesting. So I checked that. And then the TwitchCon extensions panel. That was really cool to learn about using the Prime extension. And they also renamed an extension called Blacksmith or something like that. So definitely check out the recent revisions of extensions, especially the one dealing with the gear list. I think it's called like something Blacksmith. Definitely check that out. Make sure you have that enabled if you're an affiliate or a partner for your Twitch channel. That panel is really cool. And then we also talked about the announcements already. We talked about Twitch Sings. And I think that's really about wraps up what I've seen thus far. I love watching the panel, so I'm going to keep watching the ones that speak to me. When I look at the names, there was, 26, 27, 28, right? Those were the days. So
yes,
I have to go through day two and then day three to see if there's any panels in there that I want to actually check out. Any additional like adventures that we need to mention before we open up for AMAs at the end?
Yeah, if you guys have any questions, let us know, drop them in. I'll go over some brief things really quick, but yeah, ask us anything, whether regardless if it's a show or not, or some news that you recently found out that you want our opinions on or want to discuss. But no, I love TwitchCon. I have a love hate for it. I have a hate. The hate comes from just the unorganized venture of it. Yeah, it's a new convention that happened to me. And granted, this is the fifth year. Man, I can't even remember. Fourth year. I think it's the fourth. I can't remember anymore. But it's still relatively new. It's still finding its footing. It's trying to figure out what it is. I wish it could just stay in one place. So far, it's been in California. The first one being in San Francisco. Second one being San Diego. Third in Long Beach. And now in San Jose. Okay, so it's 4 years. Don't know when the next one's going to be. They'll probably announce that somewhere around January, February, where the next location will be. I'm kind of debating if I want to attend next year. I know there's just other events I would like to, and I'm only allowed so many times to take a vacation because I only can accrue so much vacation hours. But It's really the people that make it for me. And I loved those people that I got to stay with and hang out with. I love San Jose for the scooters that they have. Oh my God. They have these, which I think is a brilliant idea. Lime and Bird. They have like electric scooters that's just randomly wherever. Use your app, unlock it, ride around, then just like leave it wherever your end destination is for the next person. It was so much fun.
That's cool.
It was. I wish we could have a day where all of us could have ridden around, because I went down. Like our spot was close enough that me and Gutter and a friend Xavier, we rode down. It was just so much fun. It would have been awesome if we could have just all done it together. But yeah, just getting to meet people and take photos. As much as I was there, I didn't take as much photos as I thought I would personally, but I had a lot of photos of people who took. So I guess I had to go and hunt those people down for like, hey, all those photos you took, I want to take it. I randomly, super randomly found Tracy. Oh, hey, Tracy. That was like serendipitous. Like it was one of those magical moments because everything was super crowded. But when it came to finding her, it was like there's literally all this space that was around us. And it was like, I'm not even kidding. Maybe the experience wasn't the same for her. But for me, because the spot that was cleared and open, there's like this spotlight that was perfectly shown down right there in that one area. I found her and I'm like, oh my God, it's Tracy. We got a quick photo, but we were both going off in different directions. So I was like hoping maybe that, you know, we'd bump in and we'll see each other at other events or something like that. But either way, that was still awesome that I got to see her. It was a lot of fun. It was exciting. Some different things. I gotta check out some stuff that's new that hopefully I get to talk about in the future soon. But I'm excited. I'm excited about what's to come.
Very cool. Very cool. Rurutu, thank you for following the channel. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for following. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, please feel free chat with us. Go ahead, Daniela.
So Shanta asks, can you talk about your experience in streaming and with streaming and Aver Media? Okay, so as you guys know, I'm doing the Aver Media Dream Streamer contest. You can go ahead and vote for me on their site. But yeah, they were doing 30-minute sessions, which is really short, which is because I wanted to play a lot longer. And they were super backed up. Like even the person that was streaming before me happened to be also one of the contestants that is ahead of me, which I have a very specific feelings about that voting thing right now. He went over into time. A lot of people are going over into other people's town, which got pushed back. And I even stole my boyfriend. I stole Gutter's streaming time from him. I feel bad for that. And it was like, okay, here, you set up, go. And I'm like, I didn't even get to set up my tweet. I didn't do all of these things. I ended up playing Dead by Daylight. That computer, oh my goodness, that computer was nice and so super smooth. It was running the newest RTX 2080 Ti in it.
Jeez.
I mean, yeah, I was using, I was playing on PlayStation. Because the choices of games... hey Taco, the choices of games that were on the computer were super, super limited. They couldn't be accommodating for everything. Obviously, they had Fortnite on there, but I really didn't want to spend my 30 minutes playing Fortnite. I'd get a single game in, if that. Maybe two if I was lucky. I didn't want to do that because I wasn't going to be focusing on being able to talk and chat, and it had the full Aver Media setup. Everything was just like there. Their mic, their headsets, obviously the 4K capture card that they were using. It was super smooth. Yeah, Shadow Sunpost just suddenly doubled in a single day. I don't even want to question that. I started asking questions. But anyways, I haven't played Dead by Daylight in so long, and their headset was good. But even then, having so much noise around me, I couldn't actually hear the cues that were happening. I could barely hear my footsteps. And the first match that I got was against Michael Myers. And I was trying to do my best. I was trying to remember the controls to start off with, because I played Dead by Daylight on PC. I used keyboard and mouse. I didn't use the controller. So I couldn't remember what the controls was. I was trying to go through the motions of trying to figure out the button layout while I was playing. But yeah, Michael Myers showed up suddenly behind me. I didn't hear the cues, didn't hear anything because I looked in the areas. Nobody was around me. Suddenly he was there. I let out the loudest blood-curdling scream in the middle of the convention. Considering how loud it was, my scream was overpowering theirs. And everybody just stopped and looked, and I could feel the eyes upon me, and I did not want to look behind or around me to see who was staring at me. That all I could do was just laugh. And it was a lot of fun. I got to play like 3 games of Dead by Daylight. And you know, it attracted a crowd to have had scream that loud, but it was a good experience. It was just like a little bit short. And I wish I just could have gone longer. I wish I could have played it. What I find interesting is that the exact PC that was there, the same exact one, that is the one that is up for grabs. They're not going to have a whole new set, whole new PC or secondary one. That is the one that the winner will get. So we shall see. I get to have a good conversation with the guys at the PR group that is running contests and helping out Aver Media. The booth was really set up pretty well, very, very open. It wasn't very closed off to a lot of people. It was definitely a new experience, especially coming home and streaming on my PC right now. I'm kind of actually sad, like super sad. my PC is good, but it's not like 4K good.
It'll be fine.
It gets the job done. So here's the hoping. I mean, yeah, the votes are 50% of it. The other 50% is judged by Aver Media and their partners. So we'll see what happens. They said just because they're ahead in the votes doesn't mean that, you know, somebody else that's trailing behind can't win. Please, please. We shall see. But like Chateau was saying, some people's votes literally doubled in a single day. I'm like, all right.
That's crazy. Crazy. Good stuff. Good stuff. So that was TwitchCon reactions, keynote, and some of the panels that we're watching. Definitely enjoyed the conversations and you guys for hanging out. Definitely check out Miss DJM on her Twitch channel, Miss DJM. I'm at Uriah, which is URIYYA. And I think that's all I have, Miss DJ. You have done a fantastic job. Thanks so much for getting those conversations during TwitchCon. Music in this episode is brought to you by DJ Cutman. The intro and the outro. Good stuff, DJ Cutman. Definitely check him out. He does awesome, awesome 8-bit music and also dope beats. And that's all I have. Miss DJM, close us out.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. You can find the show radio on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. If you haven't yet, head over to Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcatcher and subscribe, rate, and review our show. For our show notes, donation options, visit theshowradio.info. And thanks for tuning in and see you on the next one.